couple of Sunday nights ago, I began a message out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 called The Indoctrination of Children. And I did not finish that message, and I told you that we'd finish it again next time, and so that's what we're going to look at doing. But I want to just remind you briefly of the method that the Hebrews had for indoctrinating their children. And you remember it was called the Shema, which is the Hebrew word for hear. But it was the parental tool of indoctrination. Now, this is just quickly review. And the word Shema means to hear intelligently, attentively, and obediently. The Shema implies consent, and it implies contentment. In other words, glad obedience. The word Shema means to call together for an audience. There was someone in charge. The word Shema became a name for the indoctrination of children. It was what the Roman Catholics call a catechism. And so the Hebrews used this as a teaching method. The five words that we looked at last time were the word teach, which means to whet or sharpen. If you'd look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, you'll see this method. See, the Jews were given the constitutional form of government. That was the Ten Commandments. Not just in the prohibitions, but the positive principles that were drawn from those commandments became their way of life. And they were not only given, though, the material that they were supposed to teach, but they were also given the means by which it could be taught to their children and handed down from generation to generation. Verse 7 says, "Thou shalt teach them." That is a word that means to whet or sharpen. It implies repetitive strokes. You know, when you sharpen a knife, you slide the knife across the whetstone time and time again until the desired sharpness is reached. And then the word talk means to instruct with intensity. That's the meaning of the Hebrew word. The word diligently means to instruct with intensity. The word talk means to subdue by reason. It means to answer questions, to arrange a logical argument. You know, lots of parents aren't real logical with their kids. You know, the answer, "because I said so," is fine when a child is 3 or 4 or 5. When a child is 13 or 14, "because I said so" is not a real good answer. You need to give understanding. Remember the passage we showed you a few weeks ago, Psalms 119, verse 34. "Give me understanding and I shall obey." You know, understanding is very necessary for young people to have. But the word talk implies that. The word bind means to physically attach and to adhere as a conviction. And so you see in verse 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign." That is, until they become like a conviction, bind them. And then the word sign is a banner of identification. We should become known by the character that we have. And it's just an important concept. This method is simple enough. It involves much repetition. It involves several different things. It involves instruction, where a parent actually teaches. But it also involves discussion, talking with them. It involves questions and answers. Sometimes parents say, "enough stupid questions." And I understand sometimes that gets on your nerves, but you understand questions are the only way a child learns. And we have to deal with those questions. And then visual aids. What do you think the phylacteries on their forehead and the binding this around their hand? And in the book of Numbers, it talks about them wearing a riband of blue around their robe. That was a reminder. It was a visual aid that they belonged to Jehovah. And so this is an important concept. This was repeated 4 times daily. I believe with all my heart, if parents repeated their instruction 4 times daily, that kids would get it. Notice the 4 times. When thou sittest in thine house, you know what time that is? It's mealtime. Lots of families waste mealtime. It's chit-chat and small talk, but it's a good teaching time, a good instructive time. And then he says, when thou sittest by thine house, when thou walkest by the way, that's travel time or transportation time. Numbers of us ride in cars for many minutes each day, and you could be instructing children as you ride. When thou liest down, that's bedtime. No time like clearing a child's conscience at bedtime by discussing with them the activities of the day and having them reflect upon their life that day. And when thou risest up, that's devotion time. First thing in the morning, the mind is fresh. Priority, four times a day. The rabbinical record declares that they were made to pronounce these lessons distinctly and without slur. Now that's the method that was given us in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. Listen to how the scribes taught Israel. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They caused them to understand. They gave the sense. They spoke distinctly. And the people came to understand the truths of God. This is so important. Now, does this work? And here's our message for tonight. Does this work? Well, yes, it does. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 35. I think one of the best lessons in Scripture is seen in Jeremiah 35 for raising children. Jeremiah chapter 35. And I think I can finish this in 10 minutes. If I can't, we'll be shortly after 7 o'clock. But I'm going to try to knock this out in about 10 minutes. Jeremiah 35, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, saying, go unto the Rechabites. Now this is God speaking to Jeremiah. Go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them to the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Now where is this taking place? In the house of the Lord. It's in the temple. Who is involved in this? Jeremiah the prophet. He's to call the sons of Rechab in, the house of Rechab. He's to bring them to the temple, to the house of God, to the chamber of a holy man. And command them to drink wine. Verse 3, then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. I've counted about six generations of Rechabites here. So there was a son, and a father, and a grandfather, and a great-grandfather, and a great-great-grandfather who had kept these commandments. Now I want you to see this. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maasa, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. Now, you know, there's a bunch of Baptists that if you took them into the fellowship hall and set a bowl of wine in front of them, and the pastor stood up and said, drink ye wine, there's a bunch of Baptists would think that was great. And they would say, hey, it's in the house of God. The preacher said to do it. I'm under authority here. Yes, sir, I'll drink ye wine. There's a bunch of Baptists that have no conviction against alcoholic beverage. Let's read on. But they said, we will drink no wine. Notice the word we. That is plural. These men are speaking as a corporate body, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever, neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we dwell in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Now, let me give you quickly, cutting through the chase, the reason that God told Jeremiah to invite the sons of Rechab in is not that God was interested in making alcoholics of all of these teetotalers. That's not the point. God wanted to prove to Jeremiah that there are some men who have obeyed their father, their great-grandfather, their great-great-grandfather. There are some men who have obeyed what they were taught to do. But the children of Israel have not obeyed me. And that was the point that God wanted to prove to Jeremiah that here is a family that obeyed their father better than the whole nation of Israel has obeyed their God. That's the point that he's making. But what I see here is the power of a godly father in the commands that he gives his children. Think about this. You've got to understand the situation. There's real intimidation here. They're called by the man of God to the house of God, to the chamber of a holy man of God, and commanded to drink wine. That's intimidating. But you know what? They wouldn't do it. Notice their response. Their response indicated real determination. Their answer was in unison. I don't know how many men were in this room, 40, maybe 50, but these men, fathers and sons and granddads and great-granddads, they speak in unison. Why did they speak in unison, do you think? Because according to the Shema, they repeated distinctly without slur their lessons four times each day. I think somebody had raised these children according to the Shema, the teaching instrument of the nation of Israel. Somebody had done an excellent job raising these children. They answer in unison. Their answer was immediate. There was no delay. Their answer was complete. It was verbatim, word for word. They repeated the lesson they had been taught. And their answer was final. There was no negotiation. Why? Because a godly father had spoken. You have to understand the reason for this test. As I said, the Rechabites had kept a generation a command that was six generations old. Possibly a 200-year-old commandment that they had kept, that a great 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 grandfather had given them, and yet Judah had failed to obey God's laws. You have to understand the application here. The application is that the commands of a godly father bear more weight than the man of God. Here's Jeremiah telling them to drink wine. You know what? A great-great-grandfather who doesn't even live anymore bears more weight than the voice of Jeremiah. Jeremiah stands here, says, "Drink ye wine." They said, "No, we will not. Our great-great-grandfather told us not to do that." Listen, I want to challenge every man in this room. If you're a godly man of God and you give holy, righteous commandments to your children, it will bear more weight than the preacher. Understand this, the commands of a godly father bear more weight than the king. I don't know exactly how it was that Daniel was raised, and I don't know exactly how it was that Joseph was raised, but both men obeyed their upbringing more than they obeyed the kings for whom they served. The commands of a godly father bear more weight than all of the prophets preaching the word. Look over in verse 15, if you would, please. The Lord is speaking here to Jeremiah. He said, "I have sent also unto you," that is to the nation of Judah, "I've sent you all my servants, the prophets." And listen, they were rising up early and sending them, saying, "Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you, to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me." All the prophets, that would include Isaiah, that would include Jeremiah, that would include Amos and Joel and Obadiah, and all of the other prophets, Elijah and Elisha, all of them have had their turn. And Judah didn't listen to any of those men, but these men are still obeying a commandment that is six generations old because they respected their great-great-granddad. I just want you to understand tonight that this Shema works. If dads would have the sense to apply this teaching tool that we're given in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you would take the lessons of Scripture and the lessons of character and put them into bite-sized chunks and repeat them with your children four times each day, you could raise children like this too. I want you to consider the church is 2,000 years old. 2,000 years of history for the local church. Now I want to ask you a question. Who taught doctrine, religion, prayer, worship, salvation, and theology for the first 4,000 years of human existence? Who taught it? Who taught religion before there was a church? I'll tell you who it was. It was the dads. The temple is 3,000 years old. Who taught religion the first 3,000 years of human history? There was no temple. I'll tell you who it was. It was the dads and the moms. The tabernacle's 3,500 years old. Who taught religion for the first 2,500 years of human history? I'll tell you who it was. It was dads and moms. Civil government's only 4,350 years old. Who taught self-government and responsibility and truthfulness and industry and values and morals and ethics and behavior? And who taught government for the first 1,650 years of human existence? Who taught that anyway? I'll tell you who it was. It was dads and moms at their kitchen tables and on pathways out to the field and in barns while they milked the goats and on hillsides as they watched the sheep graze. It was dads and moms that taught boys and girls the key to character and to a godly life. You want good kids raised? You have the recipe in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But you know, I think you could do all of that repetition and all of that teaching and use that entire means of the Shema, and it still might not be effective if it doesn't start with this word, a godly father. A man who can be respected and honored by his children. A mother who can be respected and honored. We need to first of all make sure that we fit the picture of a godly dad and mom. But then if we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the scripture gives us a surefire way to raise good children for the Lord, if we will. Will you enlist? Will you become part of the program? Will you use the Shema? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Would you bow with me, please, for prayer?